I'm so happy to be here, and I bought you a little gift when we finish. It's a Father's Day card, and I want to speak this morning on Father's love, because it's Father's Day, and I was thinking and praying about what should I speak when I have the privilege of coming to this church here in Ingatestone. And I was in Lakeside to sort my wife's problems out with her phone. And as I went up the escalators, it said Father's Day. So I knew that was a word from God to speak on Father's Day about Father's love. And that to me, what being a Christian is all about, God is love. And when we have that love of God dwelling in us, it brings so much to us. It brings us joy. It brings us peace. And I just pray today that, being Father's Day, that His anointing will flow from my lips. And I've got a script here, but quite often when I speak, God takes me off in different directions. And but today's Father's Day, it's a very special day for me. After I've left here, I'm going to my daughter's house, and she's prepared a lovely lunch for me. My grandchildren are going to be there, and I'm really excited about seeing my children. And I have two blood children from my first marriage, my dear wife's with the Lord now, my first wife. And my son that still remains unsaved, he's 45, very first thing this morning, he rang me. Say, Daddy, happy birthday. And that really touched my heart. And right now, he's not with the Lord, but God's promise is to his children, his children's children. And I stand on that promise. I stand on that promise. And so that was a real blessing for me this morning. So I've been blessed once already this morning. And I'm blessed when my dear brother here spoke a message about Lee. Lee became a very dear friend of mine very, very quickly, because that man had such a passion for the Lord. He had a passion for evangelism. And that's where my heart is to reach lost souls. And Lee had that fervor inside him that he excited me when I was around him. And just before I went off to Belarus, I sat at the back office with Lee. And we talked about me coming here in September, because Lee's plan was to do On the Move again here in Ingatestone. And I do hope that's still going to go ahead. And I'm willing to come back on that day that you've booked me in September to come back and really fire us all up to get out there and share the gospel. And these last few days, we've been in Brentwood. And I need to tell you good news before I start to speak about God's love. We've been in Brentwood Town Centre, and we've been sharing the gospel. And I shared the gospel with various different people, as did other ministers in the town. We came together as the body of Christ in unity to share the love of Jesus. And when people see that love of Jesus, because in each one of us, when we know Jesus Christ, that love comes out from us. That light shines from each one of us. And we can reach out to those lost souls. And I was so blessed on the first day. I led a young man to the Lord. And you'll never guess how tall this guy was. I had pictures of it, but unfortunately, I wasn't very good at my technical work last night, and I didn't save the stick properly so that Edmund could play it this morning. I'm sorry about that. But this guy was, how tall do you think he was? He was the tallest man I've ever shared the gospel with. Just have some guesses. Anybody?
7 feet.
How much?
7 feet 2.
This young man was 7 feet 2. And I just came about to his chest with my head. It was quite amazing. And he came to me saying that he was an atheist. And we began to share the story of Jesus. We began to share all different things. He said, I'm a bit of a scientist. And I said, well, can I share a story with you? So he said, yes, okay. I said, what colour's that sky up there? So he said, blue, isn't it? I said, yes, it's blue. It's a lovely day today. I said, what colour are the fields. So he said, well, green, of course. I said, that's right. So God made the sky up there, and it's blue, and it's never fell down. God made it perfect. And the grass, and we can walk on it. So he made animals, didn't he? So the man said, yes, he did. So I said, what colour are cows generally? If they're Jersey, they're a brown colour, aren't they? Or they're black and white. So I said, can you tell me this as a scientist? I said, what colour is milk? So he said, well, white, of course. I said, well, how comes we've got white milk? How does your science explain this? We've got white milk, we've got a blue sky, we've got green grass, we've got brown cows, and yet milk's white. How can you explain it? He said, I can't. So I said, well, science has got the answers for everything. No, our God has. He created the world perfectly. So we need to listen to God. And this man, it just opened him up like a flower. And I said to him, if you could ask God today, what would you like God to do most for you? And he said, well, you can see I'm a basketball player and I'm living up here in Brentwood right now. And I've left my parents back in Portsmouth and they're quite old. He said, I'd like to feel at rest that my parents are safe where they are in Portsmouth. I said, fine, let's pray together that God will give you peace, and we'll pray for the parents at the same time, that your parents will have rest and have peace. And this guy, from that moment when I laid hands on him and prayed for peace, he changed like a flower. And I said, how did you come here today? How did you find your way to Brentwood? He said, Sat Navigator. So I said, well, I've got a little flyer somewhere that I can show you. And I gave him this flyer to read. It says, how do you find your way to heaven? There it is, bro. Yeah. So I gave him this flyer. I wrote this flyer. And it shows a person how to find their way to heaven using road signs. And he began to read it. And he came to the back page where it says yield. And I said, what does that say on there? I said, it's a prayer to receive Jesus. And I could see the Holy Spirit had just worked in him. And this young man, 7 feet tall of him, received Jesus Christ as his Saviour. So it's wonderful. Now, I normally don't stop speaking without speaking my favourite prayer. None of this is on the script yet. This is just the Spirit is leading me now. And I never, ever stand up and speak without praying Father's Prayer. Because there is so much power in Father's Prayer. I've seen so many miracles when I pray this prayer. When I don't know what to pray, I pray the Lord's Prayer. And I would like, as brothers and sisters in Christ, would you mind? I know some of you are maybe a little bit older than me, but there's not many people sometimes are older than me. Can we just stand and pray the Lord's Prayer together? And I don't want it just to be my voice because I've got a microphone. So let's pray as brothers and sisters, as disciples in Christ. And if you can hold hands with a person next to you, that would be good. And I'm going to give you a beginning by saying our. Okay? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, and forgive us trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brothers. So please be seated. So before I speak about the Word of God, I just want to tell you a little bit about my ministry. It was going to be nice, pretty pictures up here. I'm an evangelist. I was one of the pastors until 2 years ago at Trinity. And I felt God saying to me, you need to concentrate more on your evangelism. And God began to send me out further afield. And I wasn't at home in the church all the time. And I didn't feel that I could do the duties of what was being asked of me. So I decided to step down and become a full-time evangelist. It was in 2008, I left my job, and went out to start sharing the gospel. The first place I went to was a jungle in the deep Malaysia. I remarried 18 years ago. I have a beautiful Chinese wife, a Malaysian Chinese, and she sent me in the jungle to share the gospel. And I went into this jungle, and I'm going back there very shortly, and I didn't know what to pray. Honestly, I went in there to... They'd never received Jesus, they'd never seen a white man. So I went into the jungle. As I'm going in there, God speaks to me. And he said, Peter, I want you to take a pint of milk. I thought, that's bizarre. But the Lord's speaking. Let's stop. My brother and I was driving a four-wheel drive. We need to stop and get a pint of milk. So in we're going deep into the jungle. The only way we can find a way is that they're painted on the trees and we had to follow a track. And at the end we had to walk and they had to do machetes to get us into the jungle. And as I walked into where the tribe were, all the men ran away from me. They pointed at me because I was white. They had not seen white men. Malay are sort of yellowy colour people and some are brown skinned. And I frightened them. Do I frighten any of you? Thank you. So I frightened them all. But I was left with the women and the children. And there we are, with all these little children in front of me, and the mummies. And we're in this straw hut. Can you imagine it? I'm sorry, I could have shown you this, but I didn't do a very good job of techie. And in it was a hammock. You know what I mean by a hammock? And this, in the hammock, there was something wriggling around. You'll never guess what it was. It was a brown bear cub. And... cutting a long story short, we got the bear cub down out of the hammock, and that's what God bought the milk for, to feed the bear. And through the bear, just like the Billy Graham story, I was able to share creation with these people. And then I prayed the Lord's Prayer with a child, and that's as much as I could do, truthfully, as a gospel preacher, was to pray the Lord's Prayer. And there's power in that Lord's Prayer. This little girl had skin diseases all over her face. Jesus Christ healed her. Amen. From the prayer of the Lord's Prayer, all the skin diseases went. And then I went back 6 months later, towards the back end of the year. And I went back and all the men came out and pointed at this man. And they all ran around and came around me. And they said, Leb, Leb, Leb. And this was the child's name. And I shared the gospel with them. And 12, I think it was about 12 men, came to Christ in that visit. And one, I laid hands on a man, and he healed his knee instantly. I've not been back since. I'm going back for virtually the whole of August to be with this tribe. I'm working with a minister out there. And I'm also going into Cambodia, into the killing fields, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it will be very, very simple messages that I will take in there. And the Lord's Prayer is one that I always go and teach when I go into these situations. And God turns up with signs and wonders. And through those miracles that he does, people receive Jesus. So after I leave here, guys, I hope you're going to keep me in your prayers for when I go around the place. But my passion is really to reach lost souls, to just as it says, I've come to seek and save the lost. Jesus didn't come for good people. He came for sinners. Sinners like me. Turn me around. And another day I'll tell you my testimony. But he came for the lost. And so this is really where I'm at. I'm off this year. I'm going, my next weekend I'm in Tottenham. Sharing the gospel. Praying for the sick. I'm off to Bulgaria to do a big tent mission. Cambodia, Malaysia, and then later on in the year I'm going to Liberia in West Africa, and it's another place where there was mass genocide, and the Lord seems to be sending me to these places at the moment. It just seems to be the season I'm in. I also teach on evangelism. I go into churches and I encourage people, very basic ways of sharing your faith, and it's called caring and sharing. And I hold programs like that. I go into places like Belarus. I've just come back from there. And I spend a week teaching on evangelism. Again, it's my passion. If what we've got inside us, we need to express to other people. We need to express that love of Jesus Christ from within. None of this is on a script. This is just the Spirit of God speaking through me right now. But I just want to see where we are as Christians. If we can be busy here, we come here to worship God, sit here and praise Him. But forgive me, Edmund, forgive me, every pastor, church is out there. That's where the people are. They're out there. There's a hurting world out there. And that seeing Jesus begins with you and me. I was set on fire as an evangelist by a man called T.L. Osborne. And he spoke a word that you're the only Jesus some will ever see. And that set me on fire to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And doesn't matter what age we are, God has put seeds inside us that we can sow to other people. I saw two old ladies sitting down in Brentwood yesterday, and God divinely healed them, laid hands on their knees. Peter was telling me, Pete was with me. I had people dancing that couldn't dance in the middle of the show. And it was Jesus. Jesus turns up, and He can use any one of us. Why? Because He loves us and He loves people. So, that's just a little foretaste. So, when you look at life, our need is to be loved. Each one of us want to be loved, don't we? Do we all want to be loved? I do. I want to be loved by my wife, my grandchildren. It's just so important that we know Jesus' love and be able to express His love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son to us, Jesus Christ. We all know that verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son for us, Jesus Christ. God loves us so immensely. You can't measure His love. I think about Lee right now. And God loves him. Whatever has taken my brother in the direction he's gone, I don't know. Didn't have a clue when I sat out there with him. I didn't have a clue. But God loves him. God will restore him. We as pastors here in Brentwood, we were really shocked. But we spent the last pastors' meeting lifting him up in prayer. And we realised, just as my dear brother, I could really rub shoulders when he talked about being confidential and being helping others. The Bible says, love thy neighbour as thyself. And it's so important that we can know each other that well, that we can share, but share confidentially. Put that arms of love around that Jesus would embrace us with. It's so important. And I've been praying for Lee, I've been sending him texts, and it warmed my heart to hear that, Edmund, today. It warmed my heart. I believe God's got a great work for that man. I really do. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. The text that I looked at today was Romans 5, verse 8. I'll just read it. But God demonstrates His own love towards us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. The word ministers powerfully to our heart. God demonstrates His love to us. God's love is gracious. Christ exalted love. Today my goal is to encourage you to accept the love of God and believe in Christ, that you will have eternal life. Again, this is not on my script, this is just the day that I live. For the last 6 months, I've had a dear friend living in my living room. He has cancer. And each day we pray together. I pray just before I left. And he whispers to me, Peter, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For God art with me. Thy rod and thy staff will comfort me. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And we say that psalm together every day. Every day. And you know what? I told you that my first wife's with the Lord now. And I believe that when you stretch forth your hand, when it says, I will walk you through the valley of the shadow of death, doesn't say you're going to stay in there, does it? You tell me where it says you're going to stay in there. You're going to walk through it. Because God's going to walk you through every situation that you find yourself in life. It's only us that ever let go. If we backslide, God doesn't let go of our hand. He wants to take our hand off. So God wants to hold your hand all the way through the days of your life. You know, God's love is totally unconditional. It doesn't make any demands on you. It's totally unconditional, isn't it? So who is this God? And actually, he's three persons in one, isn't he? It's God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And ever perfect in that love, within that Trinity. We know that God is all powerful, all knowing, and present in everyone. He created a vast universe. In all mystery and splendor and beauty. He could just have created us as a submissive people without a moral choice. However, God in his wisdom chose to create us in his image. We can interact in intelligent and creative ways. We can build relationships with him. But that interactive relationship requires the giving and receiving of love. We see God's love in many aspects of our life. We see it in nature. We've already spoken about the blue sky. We see it in the mountains. We see it in the valleys. We see the power of the ocean. We see the rain. We see those wonderful rainbows. We see the sunshine. All this beauty God's created for us. We see it in achievements in life, don't we? We see speed of cars. We see the aeroplane in the sky. We can communicate through music, through sound. We can be communicating with God this morning. We've been worshipping him. We've had instruments. We've blessed this lady that played on the keys there. I just heard. Been playing all those keys for 12 years. Since she was 12 years old. God gave us all these ways of communicating. We see bridges and buildings. We see art. All these things are evidence of God's provision for us. Although all these things are of men, where does that creativity come from? Because God inspires us to do these things. God inspires us all day long with our daily lives. We all have different professions. And God gives us as gifts. The love of God for us stands out in the actions of people who love us and the rest of God's creation. Even though it's people who express that love, it's the love of God which is the ultimate source of love. Every time we see love expressed by the fellow man, we are reminded of the love of God. Jesus spoke these words: "A command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another." That's John 13, verse 34. You see, when Jesus gave different commandments, for me, they were always about love. The new commandment I give you. And then that love to love one another is so, as an evangelist, is so dear to my heart. Love thy neighbour as thyself. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Many have asked, why did Christ have to die? Could not God have forgiven our sins and redeemed us in some other way? The answer to both questions is clearly no. God loves us, but he is also the only just one. Only Christ was sinless. Only he was worthy of sacrifice of our sins. If another plan would have worked, God the Father so loved God and the Son, he would have chosen another plan. We could only be forgiven and redeemed if God loved us enough to give us his Son. Every father understands giving a son to die for others is a supreme act of love. Think of Abraham, what he was prepared to do. I always shake my head when it comes to this, and I feel my head shaking now. I have 3 children who I love dearly. 2 by my first marriage, and Kevin, my stepson, who I love dearly, was going very much with the Lord. And I have 7 grandchildren. I'm a blessed man. I am such a blessed man. And the very thought of offering one of my own children as a sacrifice for another just tears my heart, the thought of what God did for me, did for each one of us, that sacrifice that he made on that cross for my sin, for my sin. You know, when you look around and you see a cross and it's empty for one reason, because Christ paid the price for our sin. That's why it's empty. It's personal to each one of us. That empty cross, when you look at it, Christ paid that price for me. Why? Because he loved me unconditionally. He loved me unconditionally. God is so gracious. Going back to that verse where I started in Romans 5, verse 8. God demonstrates his love for us while we were yet sinners. Not while we were good people, but while we were sinners. That's when he first expressed his love. Christ died for us. We read a similar in verse 6. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. While we were yet sinners and helpless, Christ died for us. Obviously, many people were living in sin when Christ died. However, for the people who are living now, his death has already happened. Paul, who wrote this, is not concerned about this, the historical consequence. This comment about the purpose of his death, whenever we live historically, Christ died for us, for the ungodly people, not as godly people. If we had been righteous, he would have not had to die for us. We talked about Christ being exalted when we were looking at those three things. We've already read this text, his love through us, the death of Christ. And it says, I keep repeating this same thing. He died for us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us, both the love of the Father and the love of Christ are demonstrated in Christ's death. The love of God through Christ is an exalted love. It's higher than any other love for us. Greater love, Jesus declared in John 15:13. Greater love that has no one than this, that they lay their life down for their friends. Jesus understood that dying for someone else was a supreme sacrifice. It was the ultimate expression of love. According to him, no man has greater love than to lay his life down for his friends. Many times human love does not reach the level of the ultimate sacrifice. We justifiably treat people who risk their lives for others as heroes. Jesus spoke of laying down one's life for a friend. It may be that emphasis on the verse should be on laying down life for one, not a phrase for a friend. No doubt Christ would have seen laying down one's life for the enemy as a great act of love. His statement here does not exclude the love that causes one to lay down for one's life for an enemy. Whenever Jesus intended by phrase for a friend, we know that he laid his life down for the ungodly. The ungodly were enemies of God and of Christ. What does the word of God say? It says, do good to those that despitefully use you. That's got to be a true act of love, isn't it? When you think about it, somebody might be rude, they might insult you. How do you get over that sometimes? Show them love. People can't deal with it. The love of God passes all understanding. Let's look at an exalted love. The love of Christ for us is an exalted love. His love for us was so great for us that he died for us while we were ungodly. I know I'm repeating the same thing, but I just want that seed and this word to indwell you. We have already said that it demonstrates the graciousness of God. Now we should know how exalted the love of Christ is. Romans 5, verse 7, Paul states, for one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man, someone else will dare to die. Christ went beyond dying for a good man and died for sinners. He did this for us. Christ did this for us. His love for the ungodly is unequaled. He laid down his life for them through faith in him. They become his friends. The death of Christ draws us to him. Jesus said in John 12:32, and if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto myself. John added this comment in John 12:33. But he was saying this to indicate the kind of death by which he was to die. The manner of death was demonstrated of his exalted love. When we think of Christ upon the cross and who put him there, we are drawn to him. There's none of us that are righteous. When we think of God's love, the bad news, that none has deserved this mercy and grace. None of us. It says in Psalm 14:1 and also in Romans 3:10. There is none righteous, not even one. And you know, something that I've heard these words in Scripture, and it's part of my testimony. But these words in Scripture, turn my life around. That all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's in Romans 3:23. But the words that were like a dart and an arrow going into my heart, the wages of sin are death. And I thought before I was a born again believer that I could control my whole destiny through money. I could buy what I needed. And you know, another one of my tracks that I produced, it's all on love. And in there, it's a very famous song. And some of you are old enough to know this song. Often when I speak to young people, they don't know this song. The Beatles made a song. Can't buy me love. Do you remember that song? We used to tap our feet to it. You can't buy love. But what you can do is turn to our Lord Jesus Christ. And he'll fill you with his love. Unconditionally. And cost you a brass farthing. Or a crinkly note. It's free. Why? Because he loves you. He cares for you. He loves you. Oh, what an awesome God, eh? What an awesome daddy. He's our daddy. He loves us. We're precious. More precious than gold. More precious. He'll never leave you. That's what it says in that psalm. And you've gone through, as a church, you've gone through some disappointments. But God's not left you. He loves you. And all we've got to do is stretch out our hand. What's he going to do? He's going to say, thank you. Come on. We're walking through that valley. I'm never going to leave you. I'm with you. I'm never going to forsake you. I love you. I care for you. You're my children. I'm your daddy. I love you. I love you. I love you. Daddy loves you. You're his son. You're precious. You're precious. He loves you. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful God we've got. Oh, Father, we just thank you for your amazing love for us. This is Father's Day. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. What a wonderful God we've got. Oh. Oh. Those who I don't hug, I'll hug you in a minute. I just want to share Father's love with you. I'm excited. I'm excited on Father's Day. What a wonderful God. He's here to bless us. God is love. He is love. Let's close your eyes for 1 second. I'm going to stop talking. Let's open up your heart yourselves. Let's thank him. Thank him for all the things that he's doing for you and for the way he cares for you. He's never left you. Let's stretch forth your hand and whatever situation you're going through, the Lord's here for you. You know, in contrast to bad news, there's good news that God the Father graciously loved us. It says in Ephesians, a very famous verse, I know you're all very well versed in the scripture here, lots of you have been Christians for many days. In Ephesians 2:8, For by grace are you saved. Through faith. And that not of yourself. And it's a gift. It's a gift of God. Why? Because he loves you. You're his children. He loves you. Woo! You may think this is incredible news. Too good to be true. But it's true. It's so true. You may think it's hard to believe. But it's true. I have confidence in my God. You know, there's a famous man who spoke about love and grace. His name was Charles Spurgeon. And this was a quote from Spurgeon. God is love, which is alias for grace. Can I say that again? God is love, which is alias for grace. God is love, which is alias for grace. I just want you just to close your eyes for 1 second. I just want to think about where you are with the Lord. I know many of you have been Christians for many days. Many years, in fact. A lot longer than me, I'm sure, some of you. I don't mean that rudely. I just want you to give thanks to the Father right now. And if you've had little doubts in your mind about different things or situations that have come along, just put that right in your own way with the Father right now. I just sense that in my spirit that one or two of you need to speak to the Lord. And he's here, he's listening. I can feel the power of his spirit in this whole place. And he's speaking to you right now. Just grab hold of that hand again that we spoke about. He's here for you today. The Lord's speaking to me right now. There's somebody who's got a pain in their lower back. God wants to touch your back and take that pain away from you. Somebody else with a knee joint. If that's you, let's put your hand out and I'll come and pray with you. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Okay. I don't know how you normally do this, Edmund. You normally come to the front or you like to come to the front, I'll pray with you.